141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we continue the build-up to the start of the new league season in Scotland. Celtic have Europe on their mind first though, with Mitchell underway in Champions League qualifying tomorrow. Rangers announced 23,000 fans will be allowed into Saturday's opener with Livingston. And it's been a big day in Paisley with the news St Mirren have become fan-owned. I'm Gordon Duncan, joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna.
Yeah, as you say, Gordon, Celtic have a huge Champions League qualifier just 24 hours from now. Aberdeen and Hibs, they should, you know, make small work of the second legs of their European ties a day later. Rangers begin the defence of the title on Saturday afternoon, and the Dazzler will be back in his season ticket seat at Fir Park on Sunday. It's as if we've never been away.
Yeah, looking forward to the start of the season like everyone else, Gordon. Great to be back. Had a great summer.
See, when you say that though, you never sound like you mean it. It doesn't sound like it's great to be back.
What do you want? Right, it's fantastic
that's
to
a
be
more,
back.
A bit more energy.
But I'm going on to a sad bit of news. I'm a bit saddened and shocked by the news I received yesterday about a former player and a lad that worked with me in my coaching staff at Ayr. Sad to hear about Ali Dawson. Our thoughts was obviously with his family and friends, and it's a sad, sad day. He was a lovely, lovely guy.
Yeah, I know you knew him well. I did think of you as well when I saw the news yesterday. I'm sure Roger would back up those sentiments.
Yeah, I was actually speaking to a pal of mine. I think Daz knows him as well, down in Ayr today. And, you know, as well as being Rangers' youngest cup-winning captain at 21, as well as winning caps for Scotland, managing Accies to a league title, in later life he put so much back into football. He was involved in the street soccer foundation in Glasgow, and also the Walking Football Association. You know, a friend of mine down in Ayr was one of the walking football teams. Used to see Ali organising these walking football games, competitions, you know, for older guys who no longer play the running about type of football that we love so much. So he really gave so much back to the game, and as Daz says, the thoughts of everyone in the game as well as at Super Scoreboard that his former clubs are with Ali's friends and family tonight.
Absolutely. Now it's 01419511025 if you want to pick up the phone and join in the debate or discussion tonight. We would love to have you. Lots happening. Celtic in Champions League qualifying tomorrow. Celtic fans, it's been quite the week. Lots of encouraging signs against Midtjylland last week, pegged back in the end, then a disappointing friendly result at the weekend. All the while we've got transfers happening and potentially happening. So give us all your thoughts. Pick your team for tomorrow, because remind me of the kickoff time tomorrow, Roger.
6:45 tomorrow night.
So pretty much the team will be out by the time we come on air. So come and pick your team. What's the best that Celtic can field at the moment? Rangers, 23,000 fans for the Livingston game. How do you feel about that? George Edmondson's also left the club. He's going to Ipswich Town. And later on in the show, we will look at that news that St Mirren have become fan-owned as well. So those or anything else that you think we've missed, 0141 951 1025. Pick up the phone. We would love to hear from you. And you can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. Funny you started the show, Roger, talking about, you know, fans getting back in, and it'll be great to see the Dazzler back in his season ticket seat at Fir Park. I actually went along to the game on Saturday against Annan in the League Cup and got a ticket, and he was there. You know, I saw a horrendous selfie from him on Instagram. Someone's going to need to teach him how to do that. I then phoned him and did, you know, I think Kevin Bridges does a sketch like this. You know, you hear that your mate is at a concert and you stand up and you shout over, "Where are you? I'm over here. I'm in section E," and you start waving over. We were doing that across from one stand to the other. I didn't see you appear for the second half though.
I moved seats
To the recliner half a mile up the road.
I moved seats to a different premises. There was something on Saturday afternoon, but I made sure I could see the first half.
It's funny because you phoned me and said the reason you were going to the game is you had nothing to do and you were just desperate to see some football.
Just in the first, I was desperate, and it was, and you say, Gordon, it was terrific just to be there and fans there enjoying the game. It was a lovely summer's day, and the one thing I love about the start of a new season, as a player, as a manager and as a supporter, when you turn up at the pitches now as an ex-player, you think to yourself, oh, I wish I could just get another one game in me.
And it's amazing as well, the things he spots. You go along to these games, Gordon, and you might spot Motherwell playing a different formation, the three at the back, looking out with wing back. You might spot something in one of the new signings like Woolery or Van Veen, or I'm a loser or something like that. Dad's phoned me and says, you never guess what's happened at Motherwell. I thought, well, what is it? He says, Motherwell are now in the other dugout.
I know, he's just, he phoned me during the game to ask why. He never misses the big talking points,
yeah,
this guy.
Yeah.
And you're going to find that out between now and 8 o'clock. 01419511025. Pick up the phone. Let us know what is on your mind. In particular, big game for Celtic tomorrow. Lots of interesting stuff coming from Ange Postecoglou during his press conference today. Like we said, varying numbers of fans getting back in this weekend. I know that's causing a bit of frustration and debate. Some stadia will be operating around 50% capacity, some much less than that. George Edmondson's moving on. Whatever is on your mind, we'd love to hear from you. 01419511025. What about tomorrow then for Celtic? I mean, I was going to say, how big a game is it? That's a stupid question, yeah, to get us off. It's obviously massive.
Of course it is. And listen, these Champions League qualifiers coming at this time of year, it's nothing new for Scottish teams. It's been like this for the last 20 years or so, and they're enormous every year. If you're a glass half full kind of fellow, Gordon, you will look at Celtic with Odson Edward, Ryan Christie, David Turnbull, Callum McGregor, Lee Labada, who of course played so well in the first game, and you think, yep, Celtic can go there and they can score goals. Remember that away goal that the Maitland scored last week? Doesn't matter. Away goals don't matter anymore in European football. The fear you would have for the glass half empty people is the Celtic back four, because it looks as if we'll have to go to Denmark with Anthony Ralston, Stephen Welsh, young Dane Murray and Greg Taylor at the back, and potentially Vasilis Barkas behind them. And you would be concerned, having lost a sloppy goal against the Danes last week and having lost six against West Ham on Saturday, you would worry for them at the back.
I'm with Roger on the fact that I think tomorrow night Gordon will need to score at least two goals, because I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet. But I think Roger's right in pointing out, as much as you can look at the defence and there's young boys in there and it'll be a difficult night for them, but I sometimes the younger players, they can surprise you. They're thrown in at the deep end, bit of responsibility on them, and they react to that, and I'm sure everyone involved with Celtic will be hoping that's the case tomorrow night. But Roger says they're middle of the front, they've still got some decent quality, yeah, in there that can turn games and can win big matches for you.
So what's a full strength Celtic 11 at the moment? Throw that out there, even to see how the listeners compare and contrast their views. What's the best hope for Celtic tomorrow?
Well, we've almost gone through the 11 there just now. The 11 for tomorrow, will we have back four of Ralston, Welsh, Murray and Taylor? Because with Nir Beaton suspended, Carl Starfield isn't here yet. You know, it's having to self-isolate. He's not available for selection. Chris Iyer has gone.
Hold on, just before we go any further, it's taken until he's left for you to learn how to pronounce his name properly. Is that what you're telling me?
Adger's away to Brentford.
For the last 4 years he's been Adger. Now that he's gone, you're giving him his correct pronunciation.
Listen, there's a Japanese front man coming to Celtic. You have no idea the pangs of horror I've got in trying to pronounce his name when the season starts. So Chris Iyer, good luck at Brentford. Celtic could have done with him tomorrow night, I would think.
Yeah, I think that is a talking point. I think that everybody will be looking at Celtic back four, and the one that's come under the spotlight all the time just now, Gordon, is obviously the goalkeeper. And it'll be interesting when the starting 11 comes out. Will Postecoglou keep faith with Barkas? His other options probably going for being in there. But if he does keep faith, the goalkeeper has got to help these two young centre-backs. As much as Welsh has played a part of last season, he was thrown in at the deep end there as well, because of the situation with Celtic. Murray looks a real promising centre-half, young lad, and they've got two full-backs, and people would probably say that Ralston is never the first choice. And Taylor, well, we've got mixed views in that as well. So for this young back four, then I think it's important the goalkeeper takes a bit of responsibility.
Surely you play Ben.
Hold on. Let me play this to you from Ange Postecoglou. It doesn't sound like it in particular. Celtic fans, how are you feeling? What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow? Pick your team, all the main talking points, all the debating points that will be swirling around at the moment. The guys have already dived in on Vasilis Barkas, but Postecoglou says the whole squad has to remain united.
Well, I don't think his confidence. I think I said, you know, after the first leg, he was disappointed with the goal he conceded. Apart from that, you know, we were quite comfortable as a defensive unit. So, you know, I think from that perspective, I'm shying away too much from sort of focusing on individuals, because I just feel that for where we are in this place and time, it's the collective that's going to get us the kind of results we need and the kind of performances we need, because we're such a young group at the moment. You look at our back four potentially, and you know, there's not a player over 24 years of age, I think, and I'd hate to think how many appearances between the four of them. But I can't start isolating individuals and trying to analyse their games too deeply, because ultimately that's not going to make a difference for what we're trying to do now. We're trying to achieve something, and the only way we'll achieve it is as collectives.
I like the way he talks, Gordon. I really do. I think he backs his players to the hill, and that's the job and responsibility of a manager. He's come in here. Will he be happy with the fact he's getting into this game so important tomorrow with the back four and the goalkeeper? And she said there, the amount of games that they've played together. Barkas's confidence can't be too high at the moment, because he has come in for a lot of criticism. I'm sure Celtic, and I'm not having a go at the boy, but I'm sure a lot of Celtic fans out there don't have a lot of confidence in him. He's not shown me anything in pre-season that I think, yeah, okay, he's settled into the role now, he could be a big player for Celtic next year. I think it's obvious for me that Celtic need a top goalkeeper for the start of the season and over the next week or two. And these young lads like Welsh and Murray, they'll get great experience from us tomorrow night. Of that, there's no doubt, and they can only learn from it.
0141 951 1025. There are a pair of Pauls on the line, both Celtic fans, both wanting to discuss tomorrow. Let's go to Paul in Kirkintilloch and see how he's feeling. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Gordon. Gordon, I've waited to come on. I've waited until you're back.
Oh, it's very nice of you, Uncle Paul. People are going to think we're related, or I've sent you a fiver for that. But it's nice to have you. What's your thoughts ahead of tomorrow?
It's just my thoughts tomorrow night. I'm not as doom and gloom as a lot of folk. I was at the game last week. Me and my son were lucky enough to get into the stadium. And up until Beaton done his unforgivable pointed in the guy's face and get sent off, Celtic are doing really well and we're quite comfortable. The goal of Barkas is not the answer, and this will just show again that you can't rely on him. His positional sense is horrendous. It doesn't look like a goal, to be honest. But I think if they can, the kind of worrying thing is that I'm not sure that the Celtic team will be able to play the system that Big Ange is wanting, because I don't think they've got the players for it. So I don't know if he'll be able to set the team out tomorrow night exactly the way he wants it. But if they don't do anything stupid, just clear the lines, I think I'm not as doom and gloom as a lot of people. I think we could quite easily get through the tie.
Well, listen, Paul, Celtic could get through the tie, no problem at all. You're quite right, you say Midtjylland didn't look world beaters until Beaton was sent off after 42 minutes or whatever it was last week. You now do need to ask questions of Beaton. I think that's five red cards for Celtic, a lot of them in similar circumstances. All, you know, just when he's back in that centre half row, he just doesn't instil confidence in me. And neither, as you say, does Barkas. That's why I think it needs to be Scott Bain. I thought Barkas was poor for the equaliser last week. I thought he was poor at least a couple of those West Ham goals at the weekend. As you say, his positioning just doesn't take up the same position as other goalkeepers take up. And when you've got a young, inexperienced back four, I think, you know, having someone with Scott Bain's experience, I know he's older than Barkas, hasn't played a huge number of games for Celtic, but he's played enough, and he's played big games, he's played European games, he's played Old Firm games. Is a solid enough goalkeeper. He's not a world beater either, but for me it needs to be Bain tomorrow night.
Did it sound to you there though that Ange Postecoglou is of a mind to change that?
I mean, I don't know.
We could probably do a full 2 hours on Celtic's goalkeeping position alone, right? Because everybody knows, or most people acknowledge now, the goalkeeping role is about a whole lot more than keeping the ball out the back of the net. And I get that people will scoff at that and say, what are you on about? That's the number one priority, and I'm sure it remains that. But you can clearly see, if you watch Celtic, he wants his goalkeeper to do something very specific that, that maybe other Celtic goalkeepers in the past haven't quite been asked to do? Is that playing into the thinking?
No, very possibly. There's an irony as well that after Midtjylland in midweek, they go to Tynecastle on Saturday night, where Craig Gordon is currently in a club record 11 consecutive clean sheets for Hearts, and would extend it to 12 with a clean sheet against the club that let him go. So there's still talk of Fraser Forster, as there was last summer.
That's what I mean. I know this might surprise people who loved the eye-catching saves that Fraser Forster made, but it genuinely might, and I underline that, it might be the case that Ange Postecoglou doesn't think Fraser Forster suits what he's going to try and do.
That would be a worry if that's the case, because Fraser Forster is a significantly better goalkeeper than anyone on the premises.
I know where you're coming from, Gordon, about the build-up and the way he's trying to play from the back, and the goalkeeper's got to be so comfortable. But first and foremost, I think every Celtic fan would like a goalie that can make saves, and Forster's an absolute terrific goalkeeper.
Right, that's the thing. Listen, I do get that. What I'm trying to say is, if Ange Postecoglou is identifying a keeper, it's unlikely, and I'm not saying this is Fraser Forster, but it's unlikely it would be someone who would be terrible at the other side of the game. You know, it's going to have to be someone who does more than making saves, because otherwise everything he's trying to do won't work.
Yeah, I could be totally wrong, but I think if Forster comes into the equation and he gets offered him at the right money and the right price, I think you'll put that to one side and take him. I know where you're coming from. I totally understand what you're saying about the style of football. I watched him last week, and it was interesting that he was working on his fullbacks moving into mid-left part. It's an old Man City thing. Pep Guardiola done it at Man City with his two fullbacks. I can totally understand it. So he's got a different way of thinking. I like the way this guy's going about his business. It's going to take time for him. I said that at the beginning of the season. He's come into a very difficult job. I don't think he should be judged. I think he should be given support and time for him to build his own team. Any manager, I don't care who you are, whether you've worked in Scotland or you've worked in Britain or whatever you may be, any manager comes into a situation is going to find that a difficult job until he gets his players in and the way he wants to play.
If you remember, that's Brendan Rodgers come in.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up.
Immediately wanted a goalkeeper who was great with the ball at the feet. Signed Doris de Vries, then realised it wasn't very good with the ball at his hands.
Yeah.
And Craig Gordon get put back into the team. So for me, and I know what you mean, Gordon, but for me the priority for a goalkeeper is making the kind of saves that Barkas isn't making at the minute.
Paul, but still confident enough for tomorrow? Is that an experienced back four that the question marks over the goalkeeper, can it still be enough?
Hopefully it'll still be enough, yeah. I mean, they get a bit of fright on Saturday, I think, against West Ham, some of the young defenders, but hopefully that'll spur them on. This team are near West Ham or anywhere near it, but again, we just need to take the chances. Edouard is a shadow of the guy he was. He missed a couple of sitters last week as well. So if he's trying to get away, he's in the shot window. He needs to pull his socks off away and start putting some of these away.
All right, let's head east then. From one Paul, who we will thank and send on his way to enjoy the rest of his night, let's bring in another Paul. This one's in Edinburgh. What's your take on Celtic at the moment, Paul, and the chances tomorrow?
Well, good evening, panel. How are you all doing?
Good.
Hopefully, good.
Good, thanks.
Actually, at the moment, I'm completely opposite the previous caller. You know, going into the season with Postecoglou, for me, it's the biggest joke in the history of me being a Celtic fan. I've been a Celtic fan. I'm 37. So, you know, I mean, I saw Liam Brady, I saw Lou McCarry. You know, I went through the Tony Mowbray debacle, and you know. For me, this is the biggest joke of a lot of it. You know, we had Dyla at a time when Rangers weren't in the league, and there was no, you know, the competition from Aberdeen was all right, but we had a huge operating budget above them, and we had the luxury of being able to bring in an experienced coach, albeit someone who'd still won a league in Europe. I think what we've got just now, personally, I think it's a joke. You know, he's been appointed because he knows Mark Lowell. Not been appointed because he has any of the credentials that are right for a Celtic manager. These are both puppet. Majority of the players that have been brought in are players that have been brought in because they've been signed by the board and not Postecoglou. And I think it's going to be 6 months wasted and a 6 month start for Rangers.
Now, this is interesting, Paul, because the vast majority, I feel like, of Celtic fans who get in touch with this show, on whether it's on the phones or on social media, like Ange Postecoglou. They like the way he comes across, they like the way he sounds, they're happy with him. They are hoping that he gets the resources he needs to go and be a success, and that's where most of the question marks lie. You're not having the why in particular? What have you got against this manager?
Not for Celtic, you know, where we stand in terms of financial position has obviously diminished as other leagues make more money. We've got a huge support. You know, we have some history in Champions League. I feel over the past 10 years at times we haven't pushed on that. But at times, you know, we have had our results in Europe. Barcelona, Lazio, you know, I remember back, you know, when we were with Gordon Strachan with an operational budget that wasn't hugely significant, was getting us into the last 16, 2 years in a row, beating teams like AC Milan. You know, we are still a team that has more to offer. To get a better manager than Ange Postecoglou, you know, a City group stooge, you know, absolute nonsense. Celtic deserve better. You know,
is it crazy of me to suggest, Paul, that you're being a bit harsh and you give the guy a chance before you've got him written off before he's even started?
God, look at his CV. Do you think in any way, shape or form, if you look at the rest of it, as I said, give Ronnie Dyla a pass. He was appointed at a time when the operational budget was low, the TV rights were low because of what was going on in the league. Because Rangers not been in the league, Hearts were in the league, Kids were in the league, right? At that point in time, we were trying to do a financial thing that was different. Now, we got lucky and got Brendan Rodgers, and that was brilliant. We brought back Lenny, we shouldn't have done that. But we had the opportunity last year now. Who knows what happened with Eddie Howe? But, you know, bringing in someone like Eddie Howe, a Graham Potter, someone who has the potential to bring the club on instead of somebody who's been coaching in the J-League.
Roger, we are a bit short on time, but I'm keen to get your thoughts. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think Paul's a fan of Celtic's manager.
Well, listen, I think Ange Postecoglou has spoken quite well in the short time he's been here. But that doesn't really matter, what I think, whether he speaks well or not. It's about winning games. If Celtic go out of the Champions League tomorrow night, it's not Ange Postecoglou's fault. I'll put that out there right now. Rangers won the league on the 7th of March. At that stage, Celtic knew they were going into this Champions League qualifier. At that stage, they knew Brown was going, El Yunusi was going, Kenny was going, Laxalt was going, Duffy was going. They knew there was a fair chance that Ayer, pronounced correctly, well, and Acham wouldn't be there. They knew Julien wouldn't be fit. They knew they wouldn't be able to rely on Lee Griffiths. So 5 months on, next week will be the first week in August, 5 months on, how can they go into a qualifier with this squad?
01419511025. Thanks to Paul. We'll take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna are in the building, but they both want to speak to you. 01419511025 on the phones or Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you would rather do that, it goes without saying, we do like to speak to you on the phones and see what's on your mind. Christopher is on. He says Celtic need another left back desperately. There's one on the doorstep in Josh Doig, a young guy, sound investment. He'll go to the top. Celtic, not that I'm aware of, looked at him. Hickey right back, Doig left back, he says. I think it goes without saying, right across the back lines probably still remains a priority for Celtic, particularly the fullback positions.
Yeah, and it seems strange that Greg Taylor is suddenly the sort of old man, the veteran of that Celtic back four at the age of, what is he, 24 years of age or what have you, and only really been established in that Celtic back line for a season or so. As you say, right across that back four, a right back, I think there'll be at least one, possibly two more centre halves coming in as well, and surely by the end of this window there'll be a new goalkeeper in too.
Well, let's bring in Thomas, who's a Celtic fan, on the line. I think he's got a similar point to make. Thomas, take it away.
Hi Gordon, how are you doing, Parham?
Good, thank you.
My point's about Celtic, Gordon, and mainly the board. In my opinion, I think the board's making a mockery of Postecoglou. For me, I think the board should back Ange all the way. It's simple, we need players. We really need players, and again, it's going back to old times. The board no want to do this, or no want to do that. But you know, I mean, it's a pivotal season for us. It really is, and I just feel the board's just making a fully fool of him. To be honest, we need a goalkeeper. Barkas is rubbish. That's the only word I can describe him.
See on that though, right? Whether you agree that Celtic need a new goalkeeper or not, Do you think Ange Postecoglou wants a new goalkeeper?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, without a shadow of doubt.
Just making sure. Because otherwise, you know, the accusation that it's the board's fault, you know, if Ange Postecoglou is happy with what he's got, then in the goalkeeping department, it's not their fault. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, of course. I'd be really surprised if he's not sat down and looked at that over the last month or whatever it was and thought, I don't need a goalkeeper. I'm quite... You know, I've got quite enough here, and I believe in these guys. Of course, he needs a goalkeeper. I'm with Roger. I will be surprised if he doesn't bring in a goalkeeper. Now he needs a few players in, Gordon. I know he's signed a few, but he needs more players, because not just for the fact to have a strong start in 11, you need backup.
Sure.
With the amount of games that Celtic are going to play, you know, and you know, they need backup in every position. That's what happened when Steven Gerrard walked into Rangers. He built the team and he built backup every single position, sometimes two, sometimes three real quality players. And it gives you such a lift as a club. And I think that Celtic need this as well. And I think a lot of Celtic supporters have not heard anybody coming on and saying we don't need a goalkeeper. That would be my first priority. I'd start goalkeeper. And I would look at my back men, agree with Roger, they'll need more centre-halves. I know Starfelt and all these people have come in, but they need stronger depth in a squad.
And Thomas and the Celtic fans will tell you, Daz, as well, we are speaking that they need a player here, they need a player there, they need a player up there. The likelihood is they'll lose players as well before this window goes. Odson Edward, potentially to Brighton. Olivier and Charm will probably find another club. Ryan Christie's only contracted until the month of January. So, as well as the ones they need... And now they might need ones to replace more outgoings. I think they'll need to be really, really busy in the next
one. Do you know what I think his most important signing should have been, Roger? He comes into Celtic Football Club, and I've said on this programme, I'm a John Kennedy fan. I don't know Strachan, I don't know anything about him. I've never met the guy, but what I've heard of John Kennedy, I've heard a lot of positive stuff. I know John, and I think he's a terrific coach. I think that manager should have brought in a sidekick right away and hit the ground running. That was his man. John Kennedy, if he was going to keep him there, that should have been his first important signing. And I think he's missed a trick with this. I think Neil Lennon suffered as well, because Neil Lennon, we all know Neil Lennon wanted a sidekick in with him. He wanted his number two there. And he would have kept John Kennedy and Strachan there as part of it. But as you're a manager getting into a new club, you need, the most important thing is, you need somebody by your side.
And that would also, you could have benefited twice with that, Daz. You get your own guy in at your side, but also, if you think of John Kennedy's experience and his longevity there, he'd be in the meetings with Brendan Rodgers and Lee Congert and all the recruitment meetings, and he knows all the guys who are out there. He'd be in with Neil Lennon and Nick Hammond and all those recruitment meetings. It's not a surprise Celtic need 10 or 12 players this summer. John Kennedy is probably ideally placed to try early to source those players. He could have been Celtic's recruitment chief. And that date we mentioned, 7th of March, when Rangers won the league, from that day to this, almost 5 months, he could have been working away in the background, bringing in the players that Celtic now only have 1 month left to get.
A month left, Thomas. How are you feeling about that? Are you still hopeful that maybe in a month's time, in a few weeks' time, you'll be feeling a bit better about the situation, or is the damage going to be done by then? Why so much fear? Why so much pessimism?
Well, it's just the board's just it's took us to the very last minute. You know, I don't think we'll win a league this year. I really, really don't, because we need players.
Was that not always going to be a huge ask, though, Thomas? When you look at where both sides in Glasgow were come the end of last season. I know it's difficult for football fans of the big two in Glasgow to swallow, but was winning the league not going to be an unbelievable ask anyway?
Yeah, it probably was. But I just feel that we definitely need players, and as Dad said, I think we need a lot more players.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, Thomas, let's bring in your fellow Celtic fan, Jerry, who's in Uddingston. Thank you, Thomas. It was nice to hear from you. Jerry, what's on your mind, having listened to some of the opinions so far?
I listened over the summer. I despaired the Celtic fans at the time. I really like Ange Postecoglou. I like how he speaks. He certainly looks like a guy that won't be messed with. I like the football he's trying to get his playing. It reminds me of the football that Tommy Burns played. and I enjoy watching good football. Similar to Thomas, I don't think Celtic win the league this year either. And I'm okay with that. If I'm honest, I think that Neil Lennon is the Celtic board have left Ange Postecoglou a huge amount of work. It's disgraceful the state that they've left them in. I like Lucky signings. The boy Frashy looks lethal in front of goals. I quite like the early signs of Barra as well. Starfelt seems like a no nonsense centre half. The Celtic years have complained that Neil Lennon never gave youth a chance. This guy wants to give youth a chance. Now complaining that he's playing young boys. I think we'll get through tomorrow. I think we'll qualify for Champions League, but this is a 2 or 3 year thing. I think Postecoglou is absolutely right. But you give him a chance. You can't change
your
manager, do you?
Yeah, well, amongst other things, he said today that Carol Starfield will join up with the squad when they come back from Denmark. He should be available for Saturday's Premiership opener at Tynecastle. He's also pointing, of course, to self-isolation, as that being one of the reasons that signings are taking so long. But for anyone who's in any doubt, he's trying to put the message out there that he is fully in control of shaping the squad for the season ahead. No one else.
I think it's a massive challenge for sure, but you know that's why I do what I do. I love that. You know, I don't think there'd be any manager that sort of gets a nice easy ride into a new job, particularly when you know it's a period of transition. I kind of knew I came into it with my eyes wide open. I knew this would be a massive challenge, particularly through this period. Knowing the amount of players we need to bring in and obviously me implementing my ideas and the fact that the important games come so early and, you know, all those kind of things, you know, I was well aware of them before I took on the assignment. So, you know, it is, you're flying by the seat of your pants for sure, but I love that, you know, I enjoy that. I mean, that's my challenge. And I can't say that I'm working with it because I can influence things. You know, I still believe I can influence things, and that's what I'm trying to do on a daily basis.
Thank you to Jerry. It's 01419511025. What do you make of the numbers coming out today? Rangers fans, 23,000 season ticket holders getting into Ibrox for the game against Livingston at the weekend. How do you feel about that? George Edmondson has moved on as well. I know that's the less glamorous side of the transfer window when you're moving kind of fringe players around, but what do you make of that? Pick up the phone, 01419511025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dyell are here awaiting your call. Roger, as far as Rangers European or potential European opponents go, you've got a bit of an update for us.
Yeah, 5 minutes ago in Finland, HJK Helsinki 2, Malmo 2, which means Malmo are still ahead 4-3 on aggregate. That would mean Rangers would take them on in the next round of the Champions League qualifiers.
So yeah, you can keep us up to speed if anything changes there. A couple of things that will interest Rangers fans or those connected with the club today. George Edmondson has moved to Ipswich Town on a 4-year deal, and perhaps more significantly, because this is where we're at and everyone's very much focused, rightly so, on how many fans we're going to get into grounds, Rangers announced this afternoon 23,000 season ticket holders for the game against Livingston. So you don't need to be a top mathematician to work out that's round about 50%. It's just under 50%. A good number,
it is a good number, yeah. I mean, listen, a lot of season ticket holders will be delighted to get in if they're fortunate enough to come through the ballot. One of the things that probably didn't get enough attention last season, everyone was wowed by how well Rangers played, sweeping teams aside, unbeaten right through the 38-game campaign, 32 wins, 6 draws, loads and loads of goals, 4 one week, 5 the next, 8 against Hamilton, the victories against Celtic. But the fans didn't get in to see it, Gordon. You know, the fans were watching it at home, they were watching it on iPads, on TVs, whatever. They never actually get in to enjoy that long-awaited title win. They'll be desperate to get back in this season and watch their team in big numbers.
Yeah, if you've any thoughts on that, please do share them. We'd love to hear from you. And Gordon, I mentioned before the break, you know, George Edmondson moving. I get the way the transfer window works. Fans get excited primarily about big name signings coming in, and maybe, just maybe, if you're looking after the business side of things, you might get excited about a huge fee that comes in. But there's also a crucial part of
a team's business model, and that's to move the fringe players on when you can, so you're not stuck with guys that aren't going to play, and try and do a little bit of business, get a bit of a return there and make something back or whatever it may be. It looks like that's the case. George Edmondson clearly didn't get a lot of game time. He had the whole COVID situation with Jordan Jones. I think it was 17 appearances over 2 years.
Yeah, it's good business for both concerned, Gordon. Obviously for him, but the player going back down to England. Ipswich are a very, very good club. A 4-year deal, and it looks like he'll be, you know, starting next season playing regular football, and that's what every professional wants to do. At Rangers, he was sort of just used sparingly. Rangers are so strong in that department. Then I just think that Steven Gerrard, and it is good business, another wage off the wage bill, it helps as well. So I think it's worked out well for both parties.
Let's bring in Scott, who's a Rangers fan from Shawlands. What have you got for us tonight, Scott?
All right, guys. I was just phoning to ask your opinion on the Morelos situation. Obviously, he's not returned yet for pre-season. I think it's no secret now that he wants to move on. And honestly, I think Rangers are in a much better position now to cope with life after Morelos, with our various options up top. I was just wondering what the guy's thoughts were.
I mean, Roger, it came up last night. There was a suggestion on Twitter that he is back. I don't think Steven Gerrard's spoken since then, if that makes sense, to either confirm that or not. You clearly would expect him to either be back now or imminently. Yeah, but those are separate points, because when Scott goes on to say it's no secret he wants to leave, I think that probably is true without it being anything sinister. That's just what players do. He probably has reached that stage where in his mind, and you saw Steven Gerrard saying last week about, I know where it's coming from, the stuff that's been written. Do you see him being a Rangers player for this season?
No, I think would be, you know, my honest prediction. We touched on HGK Helsinki there. When Rangers paid £1 million for Alfredo Morelos from HGK Helsinki, I don't even think the most optimistic Rangers fan could have seen how successful Morelos would go on to be. But the flip side of that is eventually ambition drives Morelos to go to not necessarily a bigger club, but to a bigger league, to go to a more glamorous league. If you're a South American player, you tend to be drawn by the Spanish league, the Portuguese league, leagues like that. No surprise that Porto are the team leading the chase to sign Alfredo Morelos. But Scott makes a very good point. If we were sitting here 12 months ago and there was talk of Morelos leaving, Rangers would have been left with probably Jermaine Defoe and Greg Stewart at that stage as striking options. Now Rangers have Fashion Sakala, who looked good against Real Madrid on Sunday. They've got Cedric Itten. They've got Kamar Roof. Jermaine Defoe's still there as well. And if it was a sizeable fee, I know Rangers talk of, you know, between 15 and 20 million pounds for Morelos. If a fee of that kind came in, then who's to say Steven Gerrard wouldn't go out and get another striker as well?
We kind of had all this discussion last season though, Scott, didn't we? And as Roger says, I know the situation was different with regards to Rangers' backup. But people probably thought then Morelos would go, and then he didn't, and he came back and played a slightly different role, but had a good season nevertheless. Is it beyond the realms of possibility that happens again?
Well, listen, I would absolutely love for Alfredo to stay, because he's a great player. My point was really just the fact that in the last couple of seasons, especially last year, we needed to win the league, and we needed a player of his quality. But over the last season, we've seen guys like Itten and Roof come onto a game. Itten's been great in pre-season. Sakala has just hit the ground running. I think he's going to be great. And we're just a strong side throughout. I think we'll get goals for all over the pitch. So if we can make, you know, 12, 15, 18 million quid off Alfredo and he gets what he wants, it's a no-brainer for me.
Did you see the game at the weekend, Scott? What have you made of Fashion Sakala so far?
Yeah, I think he's maybe got a couple of wee things to tighten up with his game, but he's obviously came to Rangers knowing that he's going to work for first-class managers and coaches. And I thought he looks as if he's got the tools. He's got pace. He obviously fired one in. He just seems to be really into the ethos at Rangers, so I'm really excited to see what he can bring. Another player before I go is Stephen Kelly. I think he's been my standout of the pre-season. So I'm hopeful he'll get some more game time this year.
Yeah, there's a bit of hype around
Stephen Kelly amongst the Rangers fans, Gordon, had a good season with Ross County last year. Mm-hmm. Rangers fans seem to like what they've seen so far.
Yeah, you always find one in pre-season not shine, Gordon, and he seems to be this guy. It'll be interesting to see if he does get game time, because if you look at the Rangers squad, it's a very powerful squad, very good squad, competition for places. You know, you go back to Morelos. Me personally, unless the money was really money you can't refuse, I would be doing everything in my power to keep him there. Sakala looks like, you know, he could be a real, real good finding for
Rangers.
Would
be much easier to let him go now, though, compared to previous windows, would it not?
Because of the cover. But I still look at, if Rangers were playing their biggest game of the season tomorrow with all the players that you're talking about, Morelos would still be your number one. That's who I would play. I do like Sakala. I thought, and okay, we're not getting carried away, it's pre-season, but the lad's just into the club. He looked confident. He had a lot about him. Eaton's starting to settle in as well. They have got good cover there, but I just think we don't get rid of Morelos too quickly if I was a Rangers fan.
Good man, Scott. Nice to speak to you. Let's bring in Jason, just along the road in Clydebank. How are you, Jason? You well?
Not bad at all. Good evening, panel.
Good to have you along with us, Jason. What's your point?
Right, my point is that everybody's going on about how Celtic are going to build a team, but how could you build a team for the foundations with a manager that's got a year rolling contract? If he doesn't get it done by Christmas, he's out the door. But he's signing people for 3 and 4 years worth millions. What if it all goes wrong with him in the space of a few months? How do the Celtic fans feel about a manager that's really he doesn't really know much about the game here?
Well, I mean, Roger, plenty of Celtic managers have built something on 1 year rolling contracts. It's kind of the way Celtic do their business. They've broken that mould a couple of times, but generally that's just what Celtic do.
I never really read too much into the length of managers' contracts, because
if you want rid of them, you'll get rid of them.
It's dead simple. If they don't win games, they get sacked and paid off. If they do win games, they stay in the job. And it doesn't matter whether you've got a 1 year rolling contract or a 5 year deal. It's all results driven.
What was that? Remember David Moyes to Man U? Was it not? Was it not
like 6 year deal?
Was it six? I thought it was eight. I knew it was something outrageous. Needless to say, it didn't stop him getting bumped.
Yeah. And that is how football works. So the fact that Ange Postecoglou has only got a 12-month rolling contract, I don't think we can read too much into that. If he wins games, he'll stay. If he loses games, he won't.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I wouldn't get caught up about the length of the contract, Gordon. I don't think it would be fair that we get to Christmas and we're looking at sacking this guy. I think you've got to give him 2-3 windows. I think you've got to look at this season, and if Celtic supporters can sit at the end of the season and believe that they're going in the right direction under the manager, then I think he deserves all the backing. As I keep saying, it's not his fault he's walked into a real difficult job. It's not a quick fix, because you're right about COVID and everything, and try to sign players and to try to get them into the team, try to work to the way he wants them to work. We're too quick to judge. We've got to give this guy an opportunity. I know it's a pressure job, I really do, but I think there's a bit of time here for this guy, because I think a lot of Celtic supporters out there know how the situation is, and they're willing to give him the benefit of doubt and give him the support.
Jason, as a Rangers fan, surely you would see the benefits of keeping a manager, even if he's not winning things, as long as there's some sort of sign of improvement. That's what your team did, and it paid off, did they not?
Of course, you're going to have a Gerrard, but he wasn't on a year's rolling contract. The guy was signed in, he brought players in, he built a team up.
But yeah, but what about Roger's point, though? Are we not reading too much into that? Celtic have given loads of high profile managers over the last 20 years 1 year rolling contracts.
Celtic need to get a bit of stability in that club, and the only way they can do it is through a really good manager, because nobody else can do it. So they need another Brendan Rodgers, because they keep Brendan Rodgers, somebody like him needs to come back. This guy's unknown, untested. Nathan knows what he's all about, but he's signing players for 4 years, and he could be by Christmas. It's not the first time it's happened, you know. So
that's not different to any other manager, though, is it? And anyway, I'm going to go all out on a limb here, Jason. As a Rangers fan, it doesn't sound like you're too worried about this season. Is that fair?
I'm not too worried for the next 5 seasons, to be honest with you, because the foundations are set at Rangers. It's been built solidly for the very bottom tier, right up. And I do think that they've done it well, and they've done their business well. They've had all their transfers all done, where Celtic are still fighting to get players in or out. I just think it's bad, and I think the manager's the wrong guy for the job, and that's why he's only got a year to do it. And if he doesn't do it in a year, it's bye-bye, isn't it?
Did try to tell Jason that Celtic give a lot of 1 year rolling contracts to managers.
Listen, one of the themes, here's a prediction. We'll give our proper predictions in Saturday.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here's a prediction. One of the themes of this season will be Celtic and their patience with Ange Postecoglou. Now, I'm sure at some stage prior to last season, we had Rangers fans in this show, not very many of them, but some who were less than enamoured at the progress that was being made under Stephen Gerrard.
Remember the infamous Hamilton Ackies night, the night after that, these phones were.
Now, the Rangers board held their nerve. They saw the progress on the field, and they were rewarded last season when Rangers won the league by 25 points and stopped Celtic's 10 in a row and won their 55th title. So they got the reward for patience. And look at the squad they've got now because they stuck with the manager. It's going to be a big test, if Celtic don't start well this season, of the patience of the Celtic board and the patience of the Celtic support.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, it's back for the new season. Beat the Pundit. You just never know what to expect in a new season. Is Roger Hanna still an anorak? Does he still know everything? Does he still start on minus one? The answer is yes, undeniably. Does Gordon DL still think
minus
that,
two.
Does Gordon DL still think that Dubai is in the United States of Arab?
Yes.
All of the questions and more will be answered every night at 7 o'clock for the rest of the season. If you want to play Beat the Pundit tonight, 0141 951 1025. Call us now and call us quickly because the lines close at 7.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here at 0141 951 1025 to get in touch with the guys. If you're just joining us, I've no idea where you've been, but you've missed Ange Postecoglou talking ahead of Celtic's game with Michelin tomorrow, talking Barkas and Starfield and the squad ahead of the new season. Rangers, 23,000 fans into Ibrox this Saturday. How do you feel about that? And very soon, after we play Beat the Pundit, we're going to touch in with the good folks in Paisley to hear about St Mirren becoming fan-owned. An exciting time there. So St Mirren fans, if you've any thoughts, now is the time.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Honestly, you know how you get excited about the start of a new season, the first fixture? That's how I feel about Beat the Pundit this week. Last night was the first one. Mark Wilson, he got taken to a tie break, but he won. But I feel like every night there's going to be something new for me to look forward to. I mean, has Roger Hanna still got his magic powers? Has any of the magic worn off? Have you upped your game since last season?
What do you mean? I finished third.
You had some bumps along the way though.
Yeah, about 40-50 games is to keep that standard that I
mean
had.
It was the season that you uttered the answer United States of Arab.
Yeah, so was it? That's not my proudest moment.
Live long in the memory.
I'm slightly unsettled, Gordon. Obviously the listeners won't know we're in a different studio
tonight.
We are
in a different studio, and yeah.
I've been kind of not quite losing my yin and my yang or anything. I've just noticed, has somebody had you at Slater's?
He's looking sharp. No, I think he's looking sharp.
I've upped my game, man.
No, do you know what it is?
That's unbelievable.
I think he's trying to look younger because I noticed that he's got the sort of slim fit sort of chinos on and white trainers.
Yeah,
he's gone.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable for a man of his age? I think he looks all right, to be
thank
fair.
You,
no, I don't think I think he's looking well, yeah.
I've upped my game.
Has somebody bought you then? Because I noticed it was the first thing I noticed when I saw you earlier. You do look different.
No, these were the real McCoy.
Right, okay.
I've upped my game.
I'm
ready for
there's
a new season.
Someone's had him in the town, haven't they?
There's something behind it.
Somebody's had me in the town, yeah.
Anyway, enough about that. Let's bring in tonight's contestant, who's Graham in Bathgate. How's it going, Graham?
How you doing, guys?
You'll want to play Gordon out of these two, surely. That question won't change season to season.
Of course I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Roger did say that we're in a different studio, and he's correct. So much so that I've not fully figured out the right buttons yet. Give me a break. I've been on my holidays. So see tonight, rather than giving you Clyde 2, whoever is playing, I'm just going to kick you out of the room for 30 seconds. Then you can come back in. That all right? Right, heads it'll be Roger Hanna. Tails it'll be Gordon DL. Ask and you will receive. It is tails. Gordon DL, get out of the room. Go.
Do you know, I guarantee you were doing that.
It was tails though. It genuinely was. Producer was over my shoulder watching. Right, so I'm going to give you 30 seconds, Graham. You're up against Gordon, and you can pass. The same rules as last season. If you don't know, pass quickly and we'll move on. Okay. Right, good man. Your 30 seconds is on the clock, and it starts now. Paul Hartley is the manager of which team?
Clyde.
How many Scottish sides has Louis Moult played for?
Two.
What nationality was former Celtic player Mark Crossas?
Eric Grayson.
Name any of the sides that Rangers beat in the Europa League group stages last season.
Pass.
Who scored the winning goal for Inverness in the 2015 Scottish Cup final?
Pass.
And which Greek side did Celtic sign Vasilis Barkas from? Okay. Let's bring Gordon Dale back. I didn't think this through. Be honest. Did you disappear into a different studio in this building and then hear the questions that I was reading?
No, I wouldn't do that. Absolutely no.
You're raging you didn't think of that, didn't you?
And I left my phone as well.
Because if you'd just gone back into the office, this show's probably playing in the office and you could have heard, heard the questions.
There's not going to be a more ridiculous statement than this show during the course of this season than you saying to him, now be honest.
I know.
Right, come on.
All right, sorry.
I'm excited for a new season to kick off.
30 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right, let's go. Paul Hartley is the manager of which team?
Cove.
How many Scottish sides has Louis Moult played for?
One.
What nationality was former Celtic player Mark Crossas?
Polish.
This will be good. Name any of the sides Rangers beat in the Europa League group stages last
pass,
season.
I don't know. Go.
Who scored the winning goal for Inverness in the 2015 Scottish Cup final?
Know that. Pass.
Which Greek side did Celtic sign Vasilis Barkas from?
Panathinaikos.
Oh wow, that was not a good standard, Graham.
Wasn't he Draper?
Graham, how do you think that went?
I think I've maybe just edged it. I'm not sure.
Right, we'll find. Roger Hannah doesn't agree, but
that's not poorly.
Crossas is a very Polish sounding name. To be fair,
where is he? I don't know where he is.
He's Spanish. To be fair, right, well, hold on.
Has he ever been on holiday?
We'll go through. Oh, I've missed you. I've missed you. Right, we'll go through them one by one.
What are you laughing at?
Paul Hartley is the manager of which team? It's Cove Rangers, so you did get it and you go 1-0 up.
Oh.
How many Scottish sides has Louis Moult played for? It's one. So I'm afraid, Graham, although he's had a nightmare, he's 2-0 up.
I'll be happy if I win this.
Because the thing is, right.
Tell me Graham get nil. Tell me Graham get a nil.
Graham thought Mark Crossas was Croatian, so he's nearly as bad as you.
Give him half.
Name any of the sides Rangers beat in the Europa League group stages. Your bottle went at this point because of Crossas. So Benfica, Standard Liège, or Lech Poznan. 2-0, Gordon Dale. Who scored the winner for Inverness in the 2015 Scottish Cup final?
James Vincent.
None of you got that right.
He's doing well, isn't he? This boy, I'm playing.
Graham,
you're having a blinder. What was that wee bit you said earlier? Oh, I think I've just pipped it. Do you not need to score a point to pip it?
I must admit, right, I was worried for Graham at this stage because he's got none. He's got zero, right? And you've got two. And I'm not like you guys.
I love it.
You're horrible, basically. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't like it when the listeners come on and get zero. I feel sorry for them. I'm generous, right? I don't like it. So I was delighted to hear Graham say EAK Athens.
It
was not Panathinaikos. It was EAK Athens, which means Graham did get one on the board, but sadly, Gordon Dale got two and he gets his season off to a winning start.
Oh, two. Not even a tiebreaker. A clean sweep. See you later, Graham.
Hard lines, Graham.
Bedtime jammies.
I've never heard 2-1 being described as a clean sweep before.
Cully Jaffa cakes, cummy tea on you go, son.
I'm just astonished you managed to see Panathinaikos.
I know, it was the only club I could think of.
Far too many
time.
Syllables for him, usually. Right, Graham, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
See you, Graham. Thanks for coming. I've got to say, the minute I get to countries, I'm not really good. I don't know how we get around the world.
I noticed that. Yeah, I noticed.
But it's still a victory, Gordon. It's pre-season. Well, it's not pre-season. It's starting new season. I've started with a good victory. Can Graham come on Thursday in case?
How would you rate his performance there?
Doesn't matter, mate.
I think there's a wee bit more work to be done pre-season. Listen, results.
Roger,
I've
been doing a lot of golf and stuff like that, and I've been relaxing. I was a bit concerned about tonight's game. I really was. I was out there panicking a little bit. My white trainers have turned a different colour, but I'm happy with the result.
Polish was one of the great answers, though, wasn't it? I like that He's won, fair enough, but he's gone in early on those memorable, you know, those answers that you won't forget for the rest of the season.
I can't wait to see Mark Crozas's Poland take on Beavis McGabby's Argentina anytime soon.
See, if you asked me on Thursday night, I still won't get Spanish. I would not. Seriously? I'm sorry.
But I like Polish though for that. I'm delighted with that. Absolutely delighted, I must admit. Oh dear. Anyway, your chance to beat the pundit will be back at the same time tomorrow night. 01419511025. If you want to get in touch now, you can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. Has that qualifier finished that the Rangers fans will be interested in?
I will tell you in 2 seconds. Just trying to find that. I just lost it there. Of course, big game. Malmo won the first leg 2-1 last week. This one has finished 2-2, 4-3 in aggregate to the Swedes. And Rangers will take on Malmo in the Champions League qualifier next week.
There we are. So, Rangers fans, you'll be looking forward to that one, I am sure. Celtic, of course, in European qualification against Michelin tomorrow night as well. And Aberdeen and Hibs, great results for them last week, you have to say.
Yeah, certainties to go through, obviously. Comfortable wins, Gordon. Interesting to see. Aberdeen had a terrific Hibs had a very good season last season, finishing third. Aberdeen, new manager, new squad, ex-Celtic captain, now the manager, the captain of Aberdeen. Be interesting to see how they do this year.
Right, big day in Paisley. If you've got thoughts on any of the talking points we've discussed about Rangers or Celtic in Europe or signings or whatever it is, keep them coming, loads of time. But St Mirren supporters have completed a 5-year journey to become majority shareholders of the club, so fan owned essentially. St Mirren fans, how do you feel about that? The St Mirren Independent Supporters Association, SMISA as they're better known, they've made the final payment to buy Gordon Scott's shareholding. They now own 51% of the club. I'm sure I'd say most people would be delighted at that news if you're of a St Mirren persuasion. I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by John Needham, who's SMISA appointed club director. John, delighted to have you. How big a day is this for you and the club and everyone involved?
Well, it's absolutely huge for us. So firstly, thanks for having us on this evening. But in our history there have been a lot of great days, but today I think is one of the most significant for our fans, definitely.
Did you ever, I'm sure it was a bumpy road, John, because these things always are. Did you ever have your doubts? I'm sure you were always hopeful this day would come. It's come a bit quicker, perhaps, than you expected at one point?
Yeah, I mean, we've actually halved the time. So initially, it was the plan was 10 years. But because of two key things, one, we got more people contributing from the start than we budgeted for. And they stuck with that. And then also Kibble, our partners, came in just over a year ago, and they bought a chunk of shares as well, and they are working in partnership with us. So that meant that we could buy Gordon out and get the majority share that wee bit quicker. So that's, it's been a fantastic time. But yeah, I mean, there's always worries along the way. You know, when things like COVID kicked in, we had no idea what would that do to people's incomes and their ability to stick with it. But, the fans have shown remarkable resilience and loyalty and kept their payments up. We've lost very few members. In fact, every time we do something like this, we usually pick up a few members. So, it's been very, very well supported.
We're getting a little bit more used to the idea of fan ownership now. It's obviously very big in parts of Europe, and with teams like Motherwell and in Scotland, we're getting a bit more familiar. But for those who still maybe don't quite know, how exactly does this all work, and what does it mean for the running of the club going forward?
Yeah, well, there are various different models. Ours is a wee bit unique in the sense that we have this partnership with Kibble, it's a sort of mutually beneficial partnership. But essentially how it works is that the fans put up the money, they buy 50%+ of the shares, sometimes up to 100%, and effectively then that gives them control within the boardroom. Different clubs run in different ways, but our model is that we are going to be fan-owned, but not fan-run. So the ownership in the boardroom will stick to strategy making, look for opportunities how to progress the club, but we won't get directly involved in the running of the club. We leave that to Tony Fitzpatrick, our chief exec, and his team.
to do all the day-to-day running. So we don't meddle in that stuff. We focus our time looking at how we can basically increase income and become more attractive as a club on the park, you know, by investing in players, etc., etc.
John, it's Roger Hannah here. It's a great time to be a St Mirren fan, not just today's news, but you're in that lovely stadium. League position was as high last season as it's been for 30 years. You were at two cup semi-finals last season. You've got a very promising young manager in Jim Goodwin. You've got some players that other clubs are coveting at the minute, and Conor McCarthy, Jamie McGrath, possibly others. How can the supporters help the club take that next step? Because you mentioned Tony Fitzpatrick's name there. Tony never hides his ambition. He's talked about St Mirren being top four or top six. He's talked about St Mirren qualifying for Europe again for the first time in the 80s, since the 80s. How do the fans help the club move forward again?
Well, that's effectively, well, they've helped hugely so far, but that's effectively the next stage. You know, their support last year allowed us to invest in the first team squad, and we saw the difference that made. You know, we had better quality on the park, and we made progress to, as you've outlined. The next stage is for the fans to stick with us and allow us to continue to augment the club's income, and allow us to, you know, make longer term plans around this, both the stadium and on the field, because we went through a period of having a lot of guys on one-year contracts, and that creates a huge turnover of the year, and it's very difficult for the manager then to make progress. So we've gone more for a strategy now of signing guys on a couple of year contracts, which allows a greater degree of stability, and it allows Jim to establish a pattern of play. And I think we saw that last year. We were very difficult to beat, and had we been able to score a few more goals, I firmly believe we might have won silverware last year. So we want to go that one step further, and that is exactly what we want to do, is to use the money that the guys keep paying into Smyzer to invest in the club and allow both our academy to be invested in, but also on the first team side of things as well.
Just finally, John, before we let you go, purely from a football perspective in terms of on the pitch, how much are you looking forward to this season? It's been an interesting summer when you look at the comings and goings, because guys who played a lot of football for the first team in recent seasons, like Dylan Connolly, Jake Doyle-Hayes, Ilkay Durmus, Jonathan Obika, etc., have gone. But all the guys that have come in are real familiar names to us as Premiership football fans, like Charles Dunn and Curtis Main, Greg Kilty, Alan Power, Scott Tanzer and so on. How much confidence do you have in this squad going forward?
Well, yeah, football's a fickle thing and you can never be certain, but I'm really excited about the new season. I think we've recruited well. We've recruited guys with experience, as you've outlined, and with hopefully a bit more attacking flair than we had last year as well. So, you know, if we can start to find the net, who knows? You know, there weren't many games last year where we were second best in any area apart from maybe putting the ball in the net. And, you know, we beat Rangers, we beat Celtic, and as you said earlier, we got to two semis. So, you know, our plan is hopefully that if the guys can get the ball in the net, we'll be in the top six and hopefully pushing for a place in Europe. St Johnstone have shown us what's possible, Livingston as well. So, you know, we're not that far behind them, I don't believe, and they certainly weren't last year. So we are very confident that we can have as good, if not better, season this year.
That was John from Smyzer, an appointed club director on the day that St Mirren completed a 5-year journey to be the fans to become majority shareholders of the club. So exciting times for everyone involved. John, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
Good man, that was John. We wish them all well. It's going to be an exciting season down Paisley Way. We're going to speak to Michael, who's a Hearts fan in Selkirk, and I've got a nice question for you coming up next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're going to speak to Michael, who's in Selkirk. He's been hanging on for ages. My apologies in advance. I do need to quickly give you this full time teaser.
Oh,
and please remember, we do it on my terms. That's I don't hold on for you. What's the problem?
Oh, John, I was getting prepared.
Oh, you didn't think your mic was on when you said hold on there,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, right.
He was just adjusting his new belt.
Fulltime at Clyde1.com. Please keep your questions coming in. That's the beauty of the fulltime teaser, is you come up with the questions, you send it in, and pretty much we sit back and watch the pundits scramble. They come up with the answers towards the end of every show. This one's a bit of a joint effort, right? It was kind of inspired by Martin Burns, but he's not all to blame. So it's a bit of a hybrid effort, right? But anyway, nine players who played for Celtic or Rangers last season but did not surpass two appearances. So they did play, but they didn't play more than twice for Celtic or Rangers last season.
Last season, like, was Ball and Golly one?
Yes, I think he played once.
Karamoko Dembele?
No, he got more than that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Towards the end, I think, wasn't it?
I was going to say Mikey Johnson, but he played more than that, but
yeah, he's not on the list. No, we'll leave it there. We've got plenty of time, so we're looking for nine players who played for Celtic or Rangers last season but did not surpass two appearances. Let's see how you get on. Right, he's been waiting for ages. I do apologise. Michael, take it away.
Good evening, lads. Hope you're all well. Hope you've had a nice summer and here's to another good season, hopefully.
Absolutely. Bring it on. What's on your mind tonight?
Is obviously it's about the attendances that's been given to all the teams. It just doesn't make sense, eh? Obviously, the whole of Scotland's in level zero. So, obviously, the whole of Scotland's exactly the same. Yet, I'm looking at the Hearts-Celtic game for this coming Saturday. I've got a ticket, so I'm fine. But just over 4,500 have been given for Tynecastle. I'm looking at Dundee today saying that every single season ticket holder that they've got will get a ticket for their game. Motherwell have given 2,000 tickets to Hibs for away fans, and obviously obviously for the rain fans as well. Obviously Hibs had more than 4,500 at Easter Road last week for their European game. It just doesn't make sense. There's just no consistency in it whatsoever at all. Like.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. If you're looking at it on face value, Roger, those numbers are all over the place. Rangers, we told you tonight, 23,000. So that's round about 50%, maybe just a bit under. Motherwell, 6,500. That's home and away fans. So that's nearly 50% of Fir Park. Hearts, though, home fans only, I think, unless I've misread that. And it's 4,300. So that, I think that's under 25%. Yeah. For Hearts in terms of Tynecastle's capacity. Aberdeen are at 6,300. Now, Hearts have moved to try and clear this up tonight. I do have a statement. And they've tried to, it says, we're going to try and clarify the rationale behind the City of Edinburgh Council's decision. So that's perhaps your first clue as to why these things are different. They talk about submitting for the fixture against Inverness. A physical distance capacity application. They wanted to welcome 9,900. We were told that based on a 1 metre distance per each person within the stadium, the maximum would be allowed would be 6,000. We required to have two empty seats between each person. For the first game at Tynecastle, following this advice, we were allowed 50% of the physical distance capacity. So for last Sunday's game, they permitted 3,000. Because on and on, I don't want to throw too many numbers out there and confuse things. But for the second game, they were allowed 75% of that physical distance capacity, and therefore the number permitted for Saturday, 4,500. They then talk about it going up to 6,000 for the Aberdeen game on August the 21st. Again, the key line: the decision ultimately rests with the City of Edinburgh Council. We continue to work constructively with them. We understand the frustrations and so on. So it really does seem that there's a disparity in the approaches, really, by the different local authorities, by the different councils.
And this is what frustrates people. You know, Michael's fortunate, he's got a ticket for the game. It seems grossly unfair on other people who may have been able to watch the game live at Tynecastle on Saturday night. How on earth can the City of Edinburgh Council have different rules than Glasgow City Council or Dundee City Council or other councils around the nation? You know, what frustrates people is British Grand Prix a couple of weekends ago, 140,000 people at Silverstone. The Euros final a couple of weeks ago, 60,000 at Wembley. Michael,
to be fair, I think on those you're in danger of comparing apples and oranges. But when we've got teams within the same league, then that's what it becomes glaring for.
I was just about to say, the figures you used show the inconsistency, and also the rules in society nowadays, Gordon. You know, Michael could go into a pub, into a restaurant, into a shop, into a, you know, shopping mall, a supermarket before the game on Saturday, after the game on Saturday. There's none of the same physical distancing rules are operational in there. So why do they need to be operational at Tynecastle? And why is Tynecastle losing out compared to the likes of Ibrox or Dens Park or Firth Park or Pittodrie this weekend? It does seem unfair on Hearts and their supporters.
It goes without saying, Michael, I can detect a real frustration from your fellow Hearts fans on this one.
Yeah, obviously, there is, aye. Obviously, going on to like the Hearts forum and what have you. There's Roger's saying there are different councils. But it's actually, a Hibs council are they've got two clubs in the city, Hibs and Hearts, and they give Hibs 6,000 or 4,000 for a European game last week, and now they're giving Hearts 4,500 for the first league game of the season. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, that's and again, Roger, that I may be in danger of speculating here, which try and stay away from. But if Edinburgh City Council are operating this 1 meter distance, it might just be something to do with the configuration of the stadium, Easter Road compared to Tynecastle. I know it's easy to look at the top line, if you like, the number, yeah, and say, oh, hold on, they've got more. It might just be something to do with that. I assume, and this is where I'll get really confused if it's not the case, I assume Edinburgh City Council have at least used the same guidelines, but albeit come up with a different number for Hibs and Hearts.
Yeah, you would have to believe so. But, you know, it's no wonder Michael is frustrated about it, because it does seem ridiculous that the first game Super Scoreboard will cover on the show on Saturday, Ibrox Rangers against Livingston, 23,000, just shy of 50% of capacity. And then later at night, Alison Conroy's at Tynecastle for Hearts against Celtic, 4,000, which I believe is between 20 and 25% of capacity. It does seem unfair.
Gordon, I mean, on one hand, you know, you feel excited. It's going to be great. Even the number, a couple of thousand at Firth Park at the weekend, you were there, I was there. It was great. I mean, you've just missed it so much. You've taken it for granted. I had a joke with the guys last night in the show. There was genuinely, someone was booing on 20 minutes because it was still 0-0 and Motherwell passed the ball backwards.
That was
and
me.
They weren't even kidding on. It was genuine. So
you were still there after 20 minutes?
Yeah, I wasn't happy.
People are just desperate to go back and support their team.
Look, I can understand what Michael's saying, and he's got all the argument there to back it up, Gordon. But the most important thing is we're getting people back slowly but surely. And
That's no consolation if you're a Hearts fan tonight, is it?
I totally understand that, yeah, but what do you do? It's Roger said it all there about he believes it's not fair as well. I think look, Michael's got a lot of backers here, a lot of supporters, but unfortunately it's not going to be the case where we can get more into Tynecastle. Don't know why, I'm with Roger on this one. But I'm like you, Gordon, just to be back there. And Michael's one of the lucky ones on Saturday, and he'll realise how lucky he is when you're sitting there supporting your team, watching your team play.
Michael, what about on the pitch? How much are you looking forward to the game on Saturday?
Well, I'm looking forward to it in the respect that obviously Celtic are in the same situation as ourselves, because we need to recruit quite a few players as well, to be honest with you. And obviously Celtic are the same, eh? It might be a good time to catch Celtic, but you never know, because just Celtic being Celtic, they can click at any given time and give you a doing, eh? So we'll just need to wait and see. But I'm looking forward to it. But Gordon's saying there that we've been lucky. I am lucky that I've got a ticket, but I've got one with my two kids, haven't I? Yeah. So I applied for three, yeah, and obviously I've got one, eh?
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, compared to last season where we had been no one for any games, Roger, but that's just one of the standout fixtures. It would have been brilliant on the opening night of the Premiership to have, maybe not full and not rocking Tynecastle the way we're used to, but it would have been nice to have a bit more.
Yeah, Hearts back in the top flight against the Celtic side, who of course beat them in the 2020 Cup final in December there last year. Live on the telly, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, it is the perfect mix, really, and it would have been great if Tynecastle was rocking, absolutely jam packed. Unfortunately, that's
also,
not the
also
case.
The players, Roger, and the boys will tell you, Mark and Alec and Fraser and all these boys that are on this programme, it's played at Tynecastle when it's been full. There's hardly a better place to be, and it's unfortunate for the players, unfortunate for Michael there at his kids, because you want to go as a family, you want to encourage. That's what it's all about, supporting your team. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen.
Was it ever full when Fraser played for Hearts?
Sorry, I didn't mean Fraser.
Andy will presumably be playing this weekend. Yeah. He'll be involved. Yeah, he was in last night. Very much looking forward to it. 01419511025. Thank you to Michael, who is a Hearts fan from Selkirk on Twitter. What have we got here? There was one. There was a tweet about this, and I've just lost it, for goodness sake. Yeah, you can phone as well, of course. We'd love to speak to you on the phones, but if you want to tweet, you can do that over there at Clyde SSB. Let's just go back to the phones while I catch up on where that tweet was I was looking for. Brendan is a Celtic fan. What's on your mind tonight, Brendan?
Hi, good evening, guys. How are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Hi. It's in response to this, I think it was the second call that was on tonight, Paul, the Celtic fan, came on and basically slaughtered Ange Postecoglou. I find it really, really hard to, as a fan of a club, for somebody to come on and do what he done. You know, he calls the guy a puppet and all that sort of stuff. Utter, utter nonsense. But I reckon, I think there's six federations in the world. He's won the cup for one of those federations. You know, so to compare him to have done nothing as a manager, that's, you know, there's six federations. He's won the cup for that federation. You know, which to me is a good sign. I like what the guy said. The guys have already sort of come back and said that. I think the caller, I think if I remember right, he said he was 37. So if I go back over the last 20 years, Celtic have won 35 out of 60 domestic trophies. So that guy's been fed, he's been spoon-fed steak the whole time. Celtic fans, Rangers fans, any fans of clubs, you know, you're a fan of a club, good time, bad time. No, just in the good times. You know, so Paul, how old are yourself, Paul? You know, so...
Can't disagree with him, Gordon. I thought that everybody, yes, you've all got your opinions. I thought the lad was a bit unfair. I think we've got to give this manager time. I think we've got to be patient.
Right, but we're always told you don't get time in Glasgow, so how are they going to work? That sounds like those two ideas are very much,
I think it's a different situation, and I think he will be given time, and I think a lot of Celtic fans out there will give him time. Of course, if he gets off to a bad start, there'll be some fans that gives him a bit of you know, stick, bit of criticism. Of course, that comes with the territory. But I just believe that because of what's happened to Celtic over the last months, and Roger was saying there about, you know, you can get back to March. You brought a guy in, he's not a miracle worker. He does need time. And I think Celtic fans, the majority of them, appreciate that. The good thing is, if he can come in here, get his stamp his own way of playing and bring his own players in, and Celtic fans start to see it progressing, I think that will be enough to carry him. And I do hope that he gets all the support and all the backing. But to judge him because somebody says, well, he's not won anything, he was so many down the line choice, I don't think that's right. I think Celtic have decided that this is a manager, give them the backing he needs, and then at the end of the day, if he's successful, great. If he's not, then we all know what happens to managers.
What will satisfy you this season then, Brendan? What's the bare minimum?
I think I'm confident that Celtic can go in and win the league. I'm confident in that. You know, as I say to folk, you know, in this country, two teams have only won the league. So if you call it a two horse race and one horse falls, the other horse is just going to walk to the league. You know, and that's what happened last year. It was a lot of it was our own doing. A lot of it was definitely our own doing, from internally, player signings, a lot. You know, but my mark of a good manager is somebody who would go and win cups. Now, Steven Gerrard's not won a cup. You know, so if Rangers had won a treble last year, I might be a bit more worried. You know, so, but listen, they've done well. Good luck to them. You know, but I'm happy with the signings being made. I'm happy with the potential that's coming in. I like the sound of this. Tara, the Japanese boy from Man City, who's a wee rumour that's progressed a wee bit further. I think it would be a good signing as a compatriot for Furuhashi, and I think the fact that the guy's played in Northern Europe is a good mark.
Brendan, I agreed with you in your first part. I'm going to disagree with you in the second part. A sign of a good manager isn't someone that wins a cup. A sign of a good manager is someone that wins a league over the course and distance of the season. Yeah, I think that Steven Gerrard and everybody at Rangers would like a trophy, a Scottish Cup or a League Cup on his CV. Of course they would. All managers want to win trophies, but I disagree with that statement. I think the sign of a good manager is doing it consistently, and I think the season that Rangers had last year was absolutely terrific.
It's going to take it a heck of a swing, Roger, because the points gap tells you that from last season. It is transitional for Celtic, and it's not for Rangers. That's just the way it is. That happens in football sometimes. Rangers, as things stand, have lost no one from the first team, and have added. That may well change between now and the end of the window. But I don't think that's, you know, controversial. It's not about praising Rangers or criticising Celtic. Celtic are just in a place where they've got a lot going on, and Rangers don't.
Yeah, listen, we've spoken about it in the show many a time before. Football is cyclical, and Rangers broke the cycle of Celtic success at the tail end of last season when they won the league. Rangers are overwhelming favourites to successfully defend the title. Celtic have an awful lot of work to do, and if the 25 point gap to close, that's going to take quite a mighty swing.
Okay, thank you very much to Brendan. 01419511025. How are you getting on this question? It's nine players who played for Celtic
or
Rangers.
Are these league games?
No, not necessarily. So they did play for Celtic or Rangers last season, but they did not surpass two appearances.
It's Hasty one.
So they basically played once or twice. No.
Hasty, no.
What about George Stuart? Edmondson?
Yes, George Edmondson, who's now moved on, of course.
And he scored an own goal in the game.
Stuart?
Nope.
What about young Adam Montgomery?
Yes.
And I'm just trying to think of youngsters that played at the end of the season. Did Leon King get on for Rangers?
Twice. So well done, yep.
Oh, good shout, Roger.
Okay, you've got four down, five to go. We'll try and get them next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here on the home straight of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can phone us, you can tweet us, you can turn up at the door. We'd probably prefer if you didn't, I think. It must be said. Chris McNulty's on about the fans and the various numbers. He says we're allowed 1500 home fans in on Saturday. I think he's a Morton fan. I think that figure came from Inverclyde Council. No away fans, which is strange, as some teams are allowing away fans in. And that was in response to David Healy, who's a St Mirren fan, and says just over 1,000 in an 8,000 capacity at St Mirren. Can you try and get a statement, please? Because the fans can't seem to get one. And Benidorm Celt, just on the topic from just before the break about, you know, the swing and what has to happen this season, Benidorm Celt says it's not that big a swing. Martin O'Neill did a 21 point gap in 2000-2001 and won a treble.
Yep. But can I just ask one of those last tweets, how can the St Mirren fans not get a statement? St Mirren fans own the place.
Very good, I was waiting on that. What about Benidorm's point about the 21 points, Martin O'Neill? Are these situations remotely comparable?
No, because Martin O'Neill spends 6 million in Sutton, 6 million in Lennon, 6 million in Hartson, 4 million in Thompson and various others.
I wonder how they beat me at Hampden that semi-final day.
Is that all it was?
They had a bigger budget.
Alan Thompson goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did Larson score two?
Larson scored one, yeah. They were lucky that day, I'll tell you. We had them on the ropes.
You did?
We'd have spent an hour 20 grand.
I remember it. Honestly, they did have you. I don't remember a single Celtic player standing in the ball and saluting.
No, exactly. All right, move on.
You know, every time that clip surfaces on Twitter, whether it's the anniversary or whatever, somebody sends me. Every single time.
Yeah.
It happened when
that's
I was over.
That's me send you.
Oh, are you joking? You run away from it.
I appreciate it so much.
Have you still got Barry Ferguson shirt?
No, God. That was horrendous that day.
Anything else doing the rounds today, Roger? I know it's not the exciting transfer business that people are looking for, but I noticed what you're laughing at. You're laughing and pointing at Gordon
Deal. What are you doing with that belt? Will you leave it alone?
I'm losing weight during the show.
He's sweating. Hibs have got a new chief executive. Yes. I know that's not that exciting for people who want big money signings, but you know these things are very important.
Well, they are, because if you look at some of the success Hibs had in recent years, a lot of it was laid at the door of Leanne Dempster, who Hibs took from your beloved Motherwell back in the day. She did a very good job. And you find that increasingly in football, chief executives are almost treated like players and managers in terms of the responsibility and the credit and also the blame that they take. If you look at the way, you know, the likes of Peter Lawwell, Dominic Mackay have been mentioned in this show in the last 12 months. So the new Hibs chief exec will need to show backing for Jack Ross, who's of course just signed his own new contract extension through to 2024. And Hibs are in a good place, but they'll need to be careful, because the likes of Josh Doig, Ryan Porteous, Kevin Nisbet, Martin Boyle, they're all getting glances from elsewhere.
It's a bit late for another quiz question. The capacity of Rugby Park, remind me.
capacity at Albion Park is quite large. I think it's about 18,000.
Yeah, because you're going to start losing track of all these numbers. But Killie have confirmed that following an application made to East Ayrshire Council, they're getting 3,600 season ticket holders in for Monday's Championship opener against Ayr United.
Terrific game,
course.
Live in the television, it'll be great.
But again, 3,000 is not a great deal compared to some of the others. But again, it basically says, you know, how is this reached? Well, it was an application to the council, and following discussions, that was the maximum that the local authority would grant. So
it's a sin. I was involved in a few of the games. They're terrific.
Good
derbies.
Record in that fixture.
Yeah, won most of them. Never lost a goal.
Is that true though? Because I can't be bothered looking
Roger,
up.
Roger,
and someone's undoubtedly going to tweet me in 2 minutes.
3-0, 2-0, and 1-0.
Is that accurate?
I think he's probably correct. I remember the 3-0 game. Andy Walker dinked a penalty over Gordon Marshall
that's
to
a famous
seal
one, isn't it?
Previous year, Kilmarnock were cup holders, came to Somerset Park. Yep. I think Jim Dick and Ian Ferguson.
Yeah, 2-0. Yeah, and 1-0 at Rugby Park.
In the League Cup game. Robert Connor.
And I am standing in here talking to you to.
Good derbies this season, though, because in the top flight, we've got Dundee, Edinburgh, and of course, the one on our doorstep as well.
Yeah.
Into the Championship, we've got the Ayrshire Derby, so there's a lot.
Raith and Fermland, the one Daz used to enjoy as well in the Championship.
Quickly on the teaser, 9 players who played for Celtic or Rangers last season but did not surpass 2 appearances. So guys like George Edmondson, Leon King, Bolly Bolingoli, Adam Montgomery,
Ralston,
Anthony.
Yes. Celtic.
What about Ewan Henderson?
He got 3, I think. So he's
Scott Robertson?
Nope.
How many did Jordan Jones play for Rangers?
Nah, he's not on it.
Not on it. And towards the end of the season, Jack Simpson?
No, more than that.
Oh, trying to think of appearances. Glenn Middleton.
Yes. Well done. Okay, 3 to go. We'll leave it there. Let's bring in Frank on the line. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Gordon. Hey, guys.
Hi, Frank.
Good to have you back. First call of the season. No doubt over a few others. Just following on from the last call, I've missed the early part of the show. I was working, so I'm driving home from work. And I can't believe, although I have seen it in forums, there's fans already doubting Ange Postecoglou and his credentials. To me, that's just absolute and utter nonsense. I think you're not a fan if you're calling out a manager already. You seriously need to look at yourself if you're doing that. Give the guy a chance and back him. I think most fans like myself last Tuesday night, I wasn't expecting what I seen from the team, because everything was doom and gloom. Big Sutton saying it's going to be a miracle, Celtic qualify, etc. So I was pleasantly surprised, like a lot of fans that were at the game, how well they actually played and outplayed Michelin, take away a ship at Beaton era and a goalkeeping clanger. Celtic would have got the victory they deserved. And then, I don't know if Roger or yourself seen the game, but the first 25 minutes on Saturday against West Ham, and it was a decent West Ham team, Celtic played really, really good football. Middle to front, they were electric, had West Ham all over the place, Edwards had a bit of a chance. And then the game kind of turns as it can. Young Murray had a bit of an error, he was skinned by Big Antonio. Barkas's positioning is dubious as it comes, and the team kind of capitulated from there, but it was a friendly. But for the first 25 minutes, it was good attacking 3-4 football, as I've seen the Celtic team for, God, well over a year, and I was genuinely excited. The new lad, Abada, looks brilliant, which is one of Angie's signings. He's got 2 sitting there waiting to come in. So my basically point is to the fans, just get realistic, guys. I mean, we were a calamitous team last season. I was saying to the producer, I compare what Ange Postecoglou's got in front of him almost similar, I wanted to get your views, to what Gerrard had when he came in at Rangers. The challenge is astronomical. He has lost a squad. We were 25 points behind Rangers, a shambles of a team. And I just think everybody needs to get behind the guy and give him a bloody chance, because it frustrates me. I just can't believe anybody's calling him out already. It's pathetic.
Roger, what do you make of that comparison in terms of the strength of squads inherited,
well,
and the size of challenges?
If you go back to the day that Steven Gerrard came into Rangers, the Rangers had a dreadful season. They had 3 different men, Kashina, Murty and Jimmy Nicol, in charge of the team during the course of the season. They finished off with that comical 5-all draw against Hibs at Easter Road. They were a mile behind Celtic, and Steven Gerrard came in and the board gave him patience, they gave him finance, they gave him the time to rebuild the squad, and the reward at the end of the last season was the league championship, a 25-point gap on Celtic, and a squad that not only was it strong and deep, but it's been bolstered again over the summer months with the likes of John Lundstrom, who was playing in the English Premier League last season, Fashion Sakala, who scored against Real Madrid at the weekend. So that shows you that you can't build a team overnight. Ange Postecoglou won't be able to build a team overnight. He'll be doing well to keep pace with Rangers this season, and Celtic supporters will probably need to listen to Frank, and for periods of the season they will need to grit their teeth and be patient, I think.
What do you think, Gordon, of the size of the challenge? I'm actually looking at the team that Steven Gerrard inherited. That last game against Hibs, as Roger says, of the 18 that day, one is still there, still featuring James Tavernier, the only one of the 18. Celtic, I think Frank said, I can't remember the word, it was something along the lines of shambolic last season. You know, but Callum McGregor's still there, David Turnbull still there at the
Forest.
Moment. At the moment, Ryan Christie. I mean, is that enough, or do the glaring holes in the team at the moment, is that where the concern comes from? Where are you feeling about it?
I think it would be concerning, Gordon, but I totally agree with Frank. I've said it since day one. I don't care what choice this guy was. You've got to be patient, because it's a massive job. It's a big turnaround in players. We wouldn't have been sitting here thinking that tomorrow night, you look at Barkas, Ralston, Welsh, Murray and Taylor's your back five, getting into a very important game. So it shows you the turnaround that's needed. And I'm sure Postecoglou, no disrespect to these young players, he wouldn't have wanted this situation, but he knew the job he was getting into. And I think the Celtic fans have got to be patient.
Just quickly, Frank, before we go, despite all the negativity after the weekend and so on, how do you see tomorrow going? Give us a prediction.
I think we'll win it 2-1. I think there's enough middle to front, and I just hope they do it, because we played Mitchell and off the park at times. I just hope Eddie, maybe the last game, don't know if he's a picked up match, or missed early part, looks like Brighton have offered a phenomenal deal if that's the case, and Celtic could get 22 million, which for a guy who's out of contract is a stunning deal. So if he goes out and gets us through to the next round, well done, but I don't fancy us against PSV, put it that way.
I suppose one step at a time. Thank you to Frank. 01419511025. Jot it down, give us a call tomorrow, because I don't think we're going to have time. We will round off by this question. Like I said earlier, it was kind of inspired by Martin Burns, but we're looking for your questions in to fulltime@clyde1.com. 9 players who played for Celtic or Rangers last season but did not surpass 2 appearances. So like Glenn Middleton, George Edmondson, Leon King, Bolly Bolingoli, Adam Montgomery, Anthony Ralston. Any more?
I got in, Roger. The goalkeeper in there, Gordon?
No.
No, I always go with the goalkeeper.
What about Bio?
No.
Oh, Jack Hendry?
Nope.
Did Encham play any more than 2?
Not Encham, he's not in the list.
Marion Schved?
Nope.
You're not very good, Roger.
The Rangers youngsters, Kieran Dixon?
Yes.
Oh, Roger.
Well done. 2 to go, both Celtic.
Gives a wee clue quick, Gordon. We're running out of time.
Clamala?
No.
Clamala.
A lot more than that. Scored against Celtic at the weekend.
Oh, Armstrong Okoflex. Of course, this was the Celtic team at the time. Cameron Harper?
Yes.
Well done.
He's pulled out the bag right at the death. Thank you, Roger Hanna. Thank you, Gordon DL. You were a bit of a spectator during that teaser, but you got your victory on Beat the Pundit, yeah, so that's fine. Right, thank you to the guys. Thank you to you, though. The biggest thanks, as always, goes to you lot who take the time to phone in or tweet or just joining us. We really do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow at 6. Big night for Celtic. Gary Caldwell and Alex Ray joining us in the studio, so make sure you join us then. And in the meantime, you can just stay right there. Callum Gallagher's got you. He's up next.